today on More to Life, with all due respect. Are you tired of being treated poorly by the people in your life? Let's help you reclaim your God-given dignity. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, with all due respect. You ever notice when people say that they really are about to disrespect you? But
they really do, don't they?
Well, if you're tired of being treated poorly by the people in your life, if you feel like you are being disrespected by someone, we want to help you reclaim your God-given dignity. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, this is something that we are so used to dealing with. You know, often people are grumpy, disrespectful, rude in some way, and we just think that's life. We have to put up with it. But as you were saying, Greg, it's against our God-given dignity to be treated in a disrespectful manner. So do you feel like someone in your life is being disrespectful toward you? Do you struggle with knowing how to respond effectively when someone is rude or hurtful or unkind? Are you tired of being treated poorly by someone? Let us help you discover grace-filled ways to stand up to disrespect and reclaim your God-given dignity. And no, you don't have to blow up the whole world to do it either.
No, absolutely not. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to join the conversation about dealing gracefully with disrespect. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You can also shoot your questions to us via email, especially if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. You know, we talk about disrespect on the show. You know, we mean more than just people being mean or rude or unkind. We also, you know, respect is really the willingness to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things that you find true, good, and beautiful. You know, it's, you have a right to, you know, when you express your opinions or your thoughts or your values, even if somebody disagrees with you, for them to try to see what's good about those thoughts or those opinions or those preferences, instead of being shamed for those ideas or criticized for those things. We have a right to be treated with that respect that allows another person to see what's good about the things that we like or the things that we think or the values that we have.
And that doesn't mean just putting up with your values and your truth and the things you think are beautiful. It means finding a way to support you in that because they're in relationship with you. So if you have people in your life who just are like, well, that's your thing. I don't have to have anything to do with that. Or that's lame, I don't like it, you know, it's your thing, I don't. That's a sign of disrespect. That's a sign of them not investing in the relationship with you. And that's in you know, romantic or marital relationships. That's in larger family situations. That's true with your friends. And that is true even coming from your children, whether they're young kids and they're just being obnoxious to you, or they're, you know, older young adult or adult kids and they just aren't treating you with a sense of respect for what you think is true and good and beautiful, and a sense of companionship along the way of that. And so we really need to readjust our vision of what respect really means. It doesn't just mean
don't call me names.
It doesn't mean don't push the line into abusiveness. It means are people coming alongside of you and respecting who you are and your voice in your personal life, in your business life, in your church life, wherever that is. And if you're saying, I never thought of it that way, and what? You mean if there's nothing wrong with me, I shouldn't be treated that way? I actually deserve to be treated with dignity because I am a son or daughter of God? Well, let's talk about that today and get you that grace you need and good steps to move toward living in respectful relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it can help you deal with disrespect, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we can discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design in creation, especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that because we are created in the image and likeness of God, we have a right to expect to be loved and respected by each other. In his book, Love and Responsibility, St. John Paul described what he called the personalistic norm. Now, that's a term he used to assert the idea that every human being has a right to be treated like a person, not a thing. Each person has a God-given right to be loved and respected no matter what. In fact, the reason we feel shocked when we are treated poorly is that God has built into each person a sense of his divinely given right to be treated as his sons and daughters. We don't claim that dignity on our own. God gave it to us as his gift. When we appropriately stand up for ourselves, we aren't being selfish. We're protecting the gift God gave us by insisting that people recognize the dignity we are all owed as sons and daughters of God.
Yeah, and when we're treated in a manner that offends our dignity as persons, we do have a God-given right to address that offense, as long as we remember that the person who offended us has a right to be treated like a person, too.
It's very important to remember.
But to pull that off, we need to understand the difference between setting boundaries and being defensive. You know, when we're just being defensive, we forget that the offender is a person, and we tend to get our back up and lash out. How dare you do that to me, you jerk? You know, that's an understandable but still inappropriate reaction. Setting a graceful boundary in the face of disrespect means not tolerating the disrespect while also not taking it personally. So instead of lashing out, we might say something like, look, I can tell you're frustrated, but please don't treat me like your enemy. How can we deal with this together? You know, and obviously that takes a certain level of grace and a certain level of skill. So if you're struggling to deal gracefully with those people who are treating you with disrespect in your life, let's talk it out together. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. We do love hearing your voice if you're listening live and being able to ask those follow-up questions. So let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your presence and we bring to you all the people in our life who we feel are treating us disrespectfully, who are being unkind, rude, inconsiderate, who are not trying to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and all the things we find true, good, and beautiful. And Lord, we ask you to help us to respond to those situations gracefully, with courage, with confidence, in ways that assert the dignity you have given us and respect the dignity of the other person as well. Help us to know how to respond gracefully to those incidents of disrespect so that we can transform those moments into opportunities to build relationship through your wisdom and grace. And we ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show is titled With All Due Respect, and we're talking about those times when we're tired of being treated poorly by the people in our life. If you are dealing with somebody who is rude, hurtful, unkind, disrespectful, let us help you manage those situations gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susanna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio.
Susanna, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. I'm going through this situation in my life where I feel that I'm being disrespected, not only by friends, but also by my daughter, and I don't want to deal with things. Usually I walk away.
Can you give us an example of what you mean? Well, what would be a situation where you felt disrespected by your daughter?
Okay, let's say we're at a location or a restaurant or anywhere. At a store, she says, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. Are you go? You ready to go? This and that. And if I say something, she'll just cut me off. Or she'll just tell me, no, don't do that. Like, I was at a function for my grandson yesterday. And I wanted to take a picture of him and his friends. And she said, they got to go. I already took a picture. Don't worry about it. And she just really cuts me off. She tells me what to do at times and not what to do. And I just ignore it. And I finally had it. I was upset yesterday and I just took off. I don't know exactly how to come about it because I get really angry and I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I just walk away. Or just, I don't want to have any problems and I stay away from people who...
So, Susanna, let me ask you. I mean, the example that you gave me, I'm sorry that you're so frustrated, but the example that you gave me sounds like a situation where... I mean, well, actually, both examples that you gave are two situations where it sounds like she was trying to get someplace and that the timing was just bad. Is that fair to say, or am I missing something?
No, she does it frequently. She cuts me off when I'm talking. It's just she's very abrasive at times at talking. I know she's direct, but she knows where to be, and I feel like...
Well, look, I apologize for having to jump in, but just because of the time we're going to have to go to break, so I want to be able to give you some things to work off of. So if somebody is being abrasive with you, or they're interrupting you, or they're talking to you in some way that you find offensive, the most important thing here is to assume that they're not trying to offend you, and that's really hard to do, because a lot of times we don't know how we're coming off. Right. And so, your daughter, I'm pretty sure, is not intending to be offensive to you. We have to assume that her intentions are good. And even if you're feeling put out, it's the best thing to do is to assume that she's not trying to hurt your feelings. She's not trying to be mean to you, that there is some intention that you're not sure what it is. Okay, and what you want to do is reflect back to her how she's coming across so that she can either clarify or apologize or you guys can work through it together. So instead of just shutting down and being offended and reacting to her as if she's intentionally trying to hurt your feelings, the best thing for you to do to say in those situations is, I'm not sure what you're trying to say or what you're trying to do, but I feel like you're cutting me off, or I feel like you're not interested in hearing what I have to say, or I feel like you're not interested in kind of taking my needs seriously here. What help me understand what you're trying to do. Right, so you don't assume that she's out to get you. You assume that there's a miscommunication, and you reflect back to her the impression you're getting from her behavior, and you give her a chance to clarify or apologize or explain or whatever. You can even do that after the fact. You know, I try to remind my clients in the pastoral counseling practice that a conversation isn't over until you say it's over, right? It doesn't matter that it happened last week or a month ago. If it's still bothering you, it's okay to bring it up. And so the next time you talk to your daughter, you can say, you know, listen, I'm sure you didn't mean anything by it, but when I was asking if I could take a picture of the grandkids and you were just kind of rushing me along, I really felt hurt, you know, because I would like to be able to have a picture too. What were you trying to do there? Help me understand where you were coming from. And give her a chance to explain herself or apologize or, you know, work through it so that the next time something like that comes up, for example, you might say, so like the next time I want to take a picture of the grandkids, like, you know, would you be willing to, you know, to make the space for that? Because I would really like to make sure that you're supporting me there. You know, so you're talking through it so that the next time it comes up, you're able to handle it better. But, you know, we have that tendency to assume that if a communication goes awry or somebody, you know, speaks to us in a way that we don't like, that they're intending to hurt us. And the first step is really to assume a charitable interpretation, right? Where we presume that they're not intending to hurt us, but instead there's a miscommunication. And we reflect their behavior back to them and give them an opportunity to apologize or clarify or work through it with us. Susan, I hope that those suggestions will give you a way forward. I do hope that after you get off the call, maybe you'll reach out to your daughter and say, hey, listen, you know, I don't know what you meant by it. I'm sure you didn't mean to hurt me, but you know, when this happened, I felt thus and such. What was really going on there? And just try to address that hurt in a way that gives her room to talk through it with you instead of just assuming that she's out to get you and then shutting down the conversation. Thanks so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life. That goes for you listeners as well at 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls today on disrespect on our show titled With All Due Respect. If you're tired of being treated poorly by the people in your life, if you feel like someone in your life is being disrespectful toward you, if you struggle to know how to respond effectively when someone is rude or hurtful or unkind, if you feel someone is kind of being degrading or dismissive of your values, your ideas, your preferences, your needs, we want to help you discover grace-filled ways to stand up to disrespect and reclaim your God-given dignity. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor at CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs the St. Sebastian Center for Performance Excellence at CatholicCounselors.com. She's going to be sharing some insights that she shares with her clients about dealing with disrespectful people and situations. So stick around for that and more of your calls. Again, the number 877-573-7825. Let us help you find graceful ways to reclaim your God-given dignity in the face of the disrespectful people and the disrespectful situations you find yourself in. We'll be back with more to life and you, coming up right after the break.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it emptied. Boom. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, With All Due Respect. We're talking about dealing with disrespectful people and behavior. If you are looking for ways to reclaim your God-given dignity in the face of disrespectful people in your life, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor at CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs the St. Sebastian Center for Performance Excellence at CatholicCounselors.com. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Always great to be here.
We're glad to have you with us today. And, you know, we all want to be successful in our relationships, but being successful in our relationships means that everyone is treating each other with respect and respecting each other's God-given dignity. So what is the key to success in cultivating respect from the other people in our lives?
Well, you're so right. And in order to fully receive the respect we deserve from others, we first have to treat ourselves with respect. So this means recognizing our value and worth, speaking to ourselves in a way that's respectful, acknowledging and affirming our needs, and communicating about our needs. We ultimately teach others how to be in relationship with us. If we're not affirming our worth and respecting ourselves, then we'll be more likely to get into relationships with others who don't respect us. Or if someone is respecting us, but we're not respecting ourselves, we won't know how to receive that well and build on that. So really a key to receiving the proper respect from others is treating ourselves with respect first. This allows us to know what is healthy in a relationship and what's not. It allows us to know how to set effective boundaries and to communicate and stand up for our needs. We need to be intentional about our own self-talk. Are we degrading ourselves? Are we focusing on what we can't do and what we're not good at or what we're not enough of? Or are we recognizing our strengths, acknowledging the things that we do well, being mindful of how we are or can use the gifts that God has given us to work for the good of ourselves and others? These are the crucial steps in cultivating the respect that we deserve and ensuring that we're treating others with respect as well.
So if people are so used to having that, you know, running message in their head that degrades them in some way, and we all have that inner critic to some point or another, we all have to fight back from that, you know, inner critic. But for some of us, as you're saying, Rachel, this is much more difficult. Either people have set us up over the course of our upbringing to think that we should be degraded in some way, or we've just let that inner critic run rampant in us. What can we do to start changing that voice in our head for the better?
Now, the first thing that I always try to focus on is redefining how we describe ourselves. We tend to describe ourselves in terms of, well, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, I need to be better at this, I, you know, really struggle with this day, right? But, like, if I were to describe, you know, a flower to you based on all of the things that it's not, you would never know what I was talking about, right? We have to focus on describing ourselves the way that God sees us, the gifts that he's given us, who he created us to be. What are the strengths that we have, right? And so really, and this can be very, very hard, right? I recognize that. But it is possible to shift that mindset from I'm not this, I'm not that, to I am this. Maybe that's I am patient, I am empathetic, I am a good listener, I am motivated, I am, you know, whatever, yeah. Right? Fill in the blank, but really making an effort to shift that mindset and really write down, who am I, instead of focusing on
what am I not?
On what you're not. I love that flower metaphor. I mean, it snaps things into perspective so much. If I sat around and said, you know, I'm not 100 feet tall. I don't have a strong bark. I don't have a deep root system. You're right. I'd never get the sense of what a flower is or who I am if I'm just, I'm not like this person I see on Instagram. I'm not like that friend. I'm not who my parents wanted me to be. It's so degrading. And when we are degrading to ourselves, we have to remember we're degrading to our divine dignity. For the God that dwells in us, especially if we are receiving Holy Communion on a regular basis, God is dwelling in us. And we can't allow ourselves to keep degrading ourselves. We have to talk out, speak out, write out who He really created us to be and the gifts He's given us.
Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your insights. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to check out the St. Sebastian Center for Performance Excellence at CatholicCounselors.com, where you specifically work with Catholic athletes and executives and moms and anybody in a high-pressure situation in their lives. And that's CatholicCounselors.com. We are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. The show today is titled, With All Due Respect. You know, all of us find ourselves in situations from time to time where we feel like we're being treated with disrespect, where someone is speaking to us unkindly or is rude or hurtful in some way, or is dismissive of our needs, or degrading of our opinions or values or preferences. If you find yourself in a situation like that, how do you deal with it gracefully? Well, that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Call up and share. If you are feeling disrespected, let's talk about how to manage it gracefully. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
What do we mean when we ask our Heavenly Father not to lead us into temptation? Is it possible for God to tempt us? It is not, asserts the Catholic Catechism. God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself tempts no one. Translating from the Greek verb to a single English verb is the difficulty. The Greek verb means we are asking God not to allow us to take the way that leads us to sin. This petition addresses the battle between flesh and the Spirit, imploring the Spirit of discernment and truth. With the Holy Spirit, we can discern between trials which are necessary for our growth and temptations which lead to sin and death. Discernment also entails distinguishing between being tempted and consenting to temptation. It unmasks the lie of temptation, which makes the object look desirable, when in fact its fruit is death. God will never allow us to be tempted beyond our strength, says St. Paul. The battle, however, can only be won by prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
People have this false notion that after the Supreme Court came out with, of course, Roe v. Wade and gave us abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy, that all of a sudden, all of these regulations were put into place. When all of these independent abortion facilities popped up all over the country, when Planned Parenthood started opening its doors and doing abortions legally after 1973, that it was always so safe and wonderful. And they believe this because they don't see these stories about the botched abortions, the women who have lost their lives, the women who have been violated because their information has been tossed out in the street with the garbage and the medical waste, not to mention the fact that the regulations that are on the books are not even enforced, and rarely are these facilities inspected, and yet people think that they're so safe.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. On EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Jesus reminds us that the key to receiving mercy is being merciful to others. Being merciful means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. We have lots of chances to practice being merciful all day, but the best place to start is in our marriage and family lives. Here are some ways you can begin being merciful to your spouse and kids and reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. First, be demonstrative with your love and affection. Let your spouse and kids feel God's love for them flowing through your arms when you hold them. Second, serve with joy. Remind your spouse and kids how much they're worth to God by taking the time to respond promptly to their concerns and requests. And third, bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. By practicing these spiritual works of mercy, we give our spouse and kids a physical reminder that nothing they do will separate them from God's love or ours. To learn more about being merciful in your marriage and family life, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, With All Due Respect. As we talk about those times when we find ourselves in a position where we're being treated disrespectfully by someone in our life, are you tired of being treated poorly by someone? Do you feel like somebody in your life is being disrespectful toward you? Do you struggle to know how to respond effectively when someone is rude or hurtful or unkind or dismissive of your needs or disregarding of your values or your faith, you name it? If you feel like someone is treating you with disrespect, let's talk about how to handle it gracefully today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We want to send out congratulations to two more members of the EWTN radio family. KFSS in Joplin, Missouri, in Louisville, is celebrating 9 years with EWTN.
And WJMJ Radio in Hartford, Connecticut, marks 6 years with us. Congratulations to Steve Duncan in Joplin and Steve Savino in Hartford from your friends here at EWTN. And wherever you're listening to EWTN Radio, make sure that you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station so we can keep supporting you for decades to come in living a more abundant and faithful life. With that, we are taking your calls about dealing with disrespect at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Gloria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana.
Hi, Gloria. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Well, I'm from Indiana, but I'm from Illinois. But hi.
Oh, I apologize. It says Indiana on my board.
Well, what can we do for you, Gloria?
Okay, that's all right. Well, my daughter is, I said, 33, and we've been having difficulties. I mean, I always felt that she never respected me. She's married now, been married for 8 years, and she just came out one time and told me that she did not want to have a mother-daughter relationship, and it really hurt me.
Yeah, I bet.
Corey, when you say that she you always felt like she's never respected you, what would that mean?
Correct.
What would it mean for you to for her to respect you? What would be different?
Well, you're just saying what would be different to me? That maybe she'd talk to me and do things, you know, and just if I asked her to do anything, you know, it's always a big fight growing up. And I just never knew what to do, so I just, like, stood away and just lived like she was there, and that was it. And let her, I think I let her control the atmosphere.
So what I'm hearing you say, Gloria, and I'm sure you didn't mean to do this, but you gave away your power, and you weren't a mom to her. And that's what she's trying to say to you. You know, you because children are disrespectful to us, and children can speak unkindly, but we have to be big enough to take that and to teach our children how to behave appropriately. And you abandoned that role. And so she feels abandoned by you. What I would suggest is that what needs to happen is that I would really recommend that you get some good professional help to heal the wounds that stopped you from being able to be a mom to your daughter. And to be able to hear the pain that she's trying to express to you, that you weren't part of her life in the way she needed you to be, giving her the guidance that she needed you to give her, making her feel safe because there was a grown-up who was strong enough to help her handle her big feelings, and to do the work that needs to happen to heal the relationship between you guys, because you've kind of put her in a position for most of your life of having her take care of you, right? You made her feel like it was her job to make you feel better. And when a parent does that, and again, you didn't do that on purpose, but when a parent does that, it causes a deep wound in our children, because our children aren't there to take care of us. We're supposed to be taking care of them. And you didn't have the skills that you needed to help your daughter deal with those big feelings.
And yeah, that's not your fault, but you weren't given the skills somewhere along the way and weren't able to get into a situation where you could learn those. And unfortunately, when we, you know, one of the things that, you said, Gloria, was when I asked her to do something, she would push back, and then I, you know, I would just step back and just, you know, let her have her way. When we build our relationship with our kids on the assumption that there's going to be a relationship and they should do what we ask them to do, we're losing a real relationship with them. You know, along the way, there has to be a mutual respect, a mutual love, a mutual caring about each other. And when we're only, hey, go get me the can of peas out of the basement, you know, kind of parents, and we don't really share life along the way, those situations get bigger and bigger and bigger. But there's still time to heal what blocked you from being able to be that kind of mother to her, and then reach out to her and say, look, I'm really sorry this is how this went down. I've been getting, you know, real, I've been doing real work on this, and I'd like to have another chance to repair what didn't go well during your childhood and build an adult relationship with you now.
So even though she is not expressing those hurts respectfully, and that's not okay, it's important to be able to hear that and really take to heart the fact that she's trying to say, Mom, you know, your behavior hurt me by making me take care of you and not being big enough and strong enough to help me handle these feelings in my life. So I really encourage you to get the professional help that you need to be that strong woman of God that can reach back out to your daughter and do what Lisa was just suggesting and say that you want to be able to be that person that can help her through these things.
But she's going to be afraid of that. Her child self, which we all carry around inside of us, and nobody can say we didn't. You know, we can all think back to some time that we had a negative experience in our childhood, and we realize it still steals our power as adults. So that part of her is going to be afraid to trust you with her heart and with her relationship. You're going to have to be able to say to her, look, I've been doing some real work on myself. I got myself into counseling. This is what I'm thinking about this. I want a chance to be a better person in your life at this point. I'm even willing to go into counseling with you so we can work out some of this stuff. But you've got to give her evidence that she can begin to crack the door of her heart open to you and trust you because you've done something positive and different.
Gloria, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com if you're looking for faithful ways to heal these wounds between inside yourself and between you and your daughter. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Do you feel like somebody in your life is being disrespectful toward you? Are you tired of being treated poorly by somebody? Maybe you're struggling to know how to respond effectively when someone is rude or hurtful or unkind or dismissive of your needs or somehow disregarding your values, your preferences, your opinions. We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to stand up to disrespect and reclaim your God-given dignity. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 12. Verse 10.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Really highlighting the importance of that mutual respect that healthy Christian relationships are based on. That idea of trying to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things we all find true, good, and beautiful, and treating each other as sons and daughters of God.
Well, I love this idea of outdoing one another with honor and showing honor to one another. Because A, when we start showing honor to the other person, we're saying, no matter how this person's coming off, no matter what I think of this person, if I know them well or if I don't know them well, they're my brother or sister in Christ. They're his child. So I'm going to honor what's good and true and beautiful in them. But the other thing that it does is it just allows us to be acting as our best selves and bring out that goodness from them with how we're treating them as well. So it honors God when we sort of outdo one another in showing honor to the other.
With that, we are taking your calls about dealing with disrespect today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls about dealing with disrespect when More to Life continues after the break.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, With All Due Respect, as we talk about those times when we feel like we're being treated poorly by the people in our lives or we're treated with disrespect in some way. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Estella, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Estella. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes. Hi. How are you today? Well, I have a co-worker that I've worked with, and since the first day I got here, you know, she's been kind of rude to me. She even, when I was walking into the building, we don't need you here, and I just ignored it, I did talk to one of the people here in the office, and they even asked me, do you want me to talk to her? And I said, no, just leave it alone, you know. And so time went by, and she would still talk to me really bad, like yelling at me, like, are you still doing that? Or, you know, you're not finished. I already did two rooms. You know, I clean for the church. Mm-hmm. And I finally just got fed up and talked to my supervisor because I got tired of her just talking down on me, you know, and I would kind of like stay away from her, but she was always rude to me. And I even talked to my supervisor. And so the next morning when I came into work, I guess my supervisor had talked to her, and he told me, because of you, I got in trouble, you know, mm-hmm. And I didn't know what she was talking about because I didn't know they had talked to her. And so she saw, I said, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. So then I realized that I had talked to her. And I said, well, I've told you over and over, stop talking to me that way. You know, you never stop. So, you know, I have to talk to my supervisor, you know, because of the way you would talk to me.
Sure.
And then so she followed me and still arguing with me. And I said, you know what? This is it. Let's just sit here and wait for our supervisor, because I'm not going to take this from you no more. You don't need to talk to me like that. I just want to know how to respond to a person like that.
Well, and you said that, I'm not going to do this anymore, what happened from her?
Oh, no, she kept on arguing with me, you know, like I did.
Well, but you said you were waiting for, I'm sorry, you said you were waiting for the supervisor. So when the supervisor came, what did the supervisor do?
No, it was early in the morning, and it was early in the morning, and when she told me, because of you, I got in trouble, and then at first, I didn't know what she was talking about until she said that they had talked to her, and that's when I realized.
Right. No, I understand that, but then when you said that after you explained that, she was still, you know, being mean to you, and you said, well, never mind, let's wait for the supervisor, and I'll, so what happened then?
I walked away from her. I walked away from her because she would not stop. You know, and I didn't want to argue with somebody like that because never ends, you know.
And is the supervisor receptive to your complaints?
Well, what happened when I said that, she stopped.
Okay.
You know? Well, that's fine. You know? Okay, so what you're asking, what else you can do. So what I'm going to suggest to you is you go back to the supervisor and say, you know, look, I just want your advice on how best to handle these situations. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be constantly running to you and saying, you know, there's another problem and here's another problem and I'm annoying you. But I would like your help in knowing how you'd like me to handle these situations if and when they come up again. So because it's important in a work situation to respect the culture, because sometimes, you know, in our attempts to resolve a problem, we can become the problem in the supervisor's eyes. So if you go to them and you just say, look, I just want to get your advice on, you know, if this were to happen again or if this continues to happen, how would you like me to handle it? Because I don't want to keep running to you with the lightest problem or being obnoxious to you, but I really want to be able to handle this in a way that you respect and that you feel is appropriate for the workplace. So, you know, go back to your supervisor and have a follow-up conversation where you're kind of just describing how things are playing out now and how they would like you to handle the situation if it were to happen again.
So not asking your supervisor to fix it, but to give you guidelines on how to handle it yourself so you're not making your supervisor's life harder and the workplace can be a better situation
and
for
also,
all three of you.
And also, if that doesn't work, how they'd like you to respond to that, because you can share that, you know, in times past when I've tried to do those things, it hasn't gone necessarily all that well. But getting direction from the supervisor on how you could handle these interaction yourself directly and what to do to follow up is the most important thing, so that you can respect kind of the workplace culture and make sure that you're not accidentally becoming the problem in the supervisor's eyes as you're trying to resolve the problem. Thanks so much for the call, Estella. 877-573-7825. Who's up next, Lisa?
We're talking now with Glenda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Glenda, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, I was calling. I'm also listening on EWTN on Sirius.
Great, thank you.
I was calling because, hi, I was calling, okay, it's a little complicated. Growing up, my parents were divorced, but my mom did want me to follow faith and get baptized and do all my sacraments. She never attended Mass with me, but she would kind of just drop me off and I would do my thing. So, it was really lovely, and it planted something really nice in my heart, and I love it to this day. And so with my parents being divorced and separated, she decided to kind of, do all the things she never got to do while she was with my dad. And so, sadly, that kind of led us to have a more of a friend relationship than mother-daughter. Mm. And needless to say, a lot of things happened to me during that time, which I don't hold against her. I've moved on. I've done the work. I've seek counseling, and I feel like I'm a better adult for it now.
God bless you.
Flash forward to now, I'm an adult, and so I got married
and my ex, but now I'm divorced. My ex-husband, after 14 years of marriage, decided, you know, he needed to pursue other things, and he filed for divorce. I never did. We were married through the church. I told him that I wasn't going to do it, and I believe in what I made when I made my vows. I fully believed every word I said, and so he filed, moved out, you know, and we've been separated for a while now, and so I met a very, very lovely man at my church, and we've been seeing each other for about a year now, and we do want to get married, and I've talked to my priest, and we are working on my annulment. We're trying to do all the things the right way. The problem now is all of a sudden my mom has officially refound her faith, and so in that, she has basically shunned me for dating someone and feels that the way that I am living my life is incorrect and it's not healthy for her or the way she follows faith and the Catholic Church. I'm trying to find advice on how to deal with that. I mean, I love my mom, and it hurts me a lot that she won't talk to me and be here for me. And so much so that my daughter recently had her communion and confirmation sacraments, and she's 11, and my mom didn't even text or call.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
And so that's hurtful to me. I think that's more of a child wound, because I'm not seeing her do the things.
Well,
that
it's
I
just a wound. I mean, you know, a grandparent shouldn't shun their grandchild. Yeah.
No. So, Glenda, what do you feel is possible at this point? I mean, what would you like to have happen?
I would love for her to stop and really listen to what we're learning in our church. You know, God is love, and you know, we're called to be there for one another. No matter what.
But if she was unwilling to do that, if she was, I guess what I'm asking is, what do you want to do differently in this situation here? Because you can't control how your mom acts, unfortunately.
I guess I would like to find a way to cope with this feeling of abandonment, I guess, from her at such an important time of my life. I struggle with, should I call her and act and talk to her like normal and act like nothing's bothering me, but I just feel like...
Would she take your call? Because you said she shunned you. I'm trying to understand what would happen if you did call her.
I think she might, but she'll be very like, oh, are you okay? Yes? Okay, fine. Good, great. Good to hear. Bye. And I don't know would hurt me more. You know, she's that
probably.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry that she's behaving that way. You know, you're getting pastoral support, you're talking with your priest, you're doing what the pastor is advising you to do, which is what, you know, we're called to do, right? It's not up to your mom to get in the way of that. You're getting that appropriate spiritual guidance and you're going through the steps that you need to go through. And you know, your mom needs to support that. And if she's not supporting that, she's in the wrong. And I know that doesn't make you feel any better about the broken relationship. But she's, you know, her behavior is inappropriate. It's unjust. And I would say to you that if you want to communicate anything to your mom, it would be, you know, mom, I appreciate that you're trying to, you know, encourage me to live a faithful life, but I'm doing that, and I'm working with my pastor. And if you can't respect that, then that really makes me sad. And I would love for you to be part of my life, and I would love to be able to count on you for support, but if you can't respect the fact that I'm getting support from my pastor, then I'm going to have to set limits here. So what's it going to be? You know, can you respect the fact that I'm doing everything that a Catholic is called to do, or do I need to draw some limits here where I can't see you as much because you're just not being supportive of my faith?
I realize at this point you're not really seeing her because she's blocked you in all of these ways, but you're starting with, I really want this relationship with you, and I'd love to share our faith together and talk about it respectfully, how I'm living out my faith and how you're living out yours, so that we can support each other.
But if she doesn't respond well to that, then unfortunately, I mean, you're going to have to grieve the relationship and find support with the people who are supportive to you. Your pastor, other friends that you can count on, a pastoral counselor, if it might be time to get back into counseling to heal that wound that you were just describing to us. Because, you know, we have to have people in our lives who are able to support us on the journey that God is asking us to walk. And if your mom isn't capable of doing that because of where she's at in her life right now, then it might be necessary to set those limits. But Glenda, I'm so sorry that you're going through that with your mom, but I'm so grateful that you're receiving good pastoral guidance from your priest, and that you're working to get your life in order with this relationship. And I want you to keep that up. Thank you so much for the call. 877, I'm sorry, that's all the time we've got for today's program. But if you are looking for ways to heal those relationships damaged by disrespect, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life through the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And remember, get out there and celebrate the life God wants you to live, because with God's grace, there's so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.